Butcha, 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 long. Shalom. Welcome to For Zion's Sake Ministries, Er Yehuda, Messianic Jewish Congregation here in Bristol, Virginia. We welcome the folks that are here today. We have some visitors, and we welcome you all, and we'll get your names later. And we also welcome all those that are coming to us by internet, whether it's on Facebook or live stream or, I guess, our website. We welcome you. We will be observing the Shelkanah and I, the table of the Lord, later on in the service, so you can prepare for that. But this morning we're going to get started, first of all, I believe, with lighting the Hanukkah candles. And Diane is going to go ahead and light the candles of Hanukkah for us this morning.
We offer to the Lord a heart of praise.
The game matches Charlie. We need to find the Nur.
Day 5. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kiddushenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lalik neshel Hanukkah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us by thy commandments and have commanded us to light the Hanukkah lights. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam she'asa nasim lavatenu bayamim hahem bazman hazeh. Blessed are you, Lord, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who performed miracles for our ancestors in those days during the season.
Amen. Hag Samech, each and every one. We're going to start off this service this morning with, I believe, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora V'Simcha, Ora V'Simcha, Shabbat Menucha. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora V'Simcha, Shabbat Menucha, Shabbat Menucha.
Each other, say hello to your neighbor and give him a hug.
Don said, "Greet one another."
Hallelujah! And do it.
Welcome dance. Your neighbors. Cross the aisles. Do-si-do. Promenade. Yisrael. Yom Tov for Yisrael. This day for Yisrael, filled with light and joy. This day for Yisrael, filled with light and joy. Filled with light and joy. Sabbath of his rest. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. Sabbath of his rest. Sabbath of his rest.
Okay. Okay, we'll begin our liturgy this morning with the blessings of the Messiah. Brukatad and I will hang you melech ha'olam, asher natan lan, erek derek, ha'yeshua, mashiach, yeshua, amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in the Messiah, Yeshua, amen. Ma'tov, which is the call to worship. Ma'tovu, O ha'lecha Yaakov. Mishkenotega Israel, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, thy tabernacles, Israel. Decha avo bekteka eshtakave elheka kashima yirateka. And in thy great compassion we will come into your house. There I will bow, there I will fear thy holiness, O Lord. O Lord, I love the house where you dwell, and the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord thy Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time, O God, in your abundant righteousness. Answer me with the truth of your salvation. Amen. Vishamru. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael, let ha-shabbat Lasso et ha-shabbat le-do tambourine do-lam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael le-et ha-shabbat Lasso et ha-shabbat le-do tambourine do-lam. B'nei o v'nei, b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, Odhi Elolam. Veshemru v'nei Yisrael, le'et ha-shabbat, la'sod et ha-shabbat, le'do tambourine do'lam. Ki k'seishet amin, asa Adonai, asa Adonai, et ha-shamai, et veshemru v'nei Yisrael, le'et ha-shabbat, La sod et ha-shabbat le-do tambourine do-lam. O v'nei yom havish, shavat nina fash, shavat nina fash, shavat nina fash. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael le-et ha-shabbat. La sod et ha-shabbat le-do tambourine do-lam. The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another,
All flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen. Okay, we're going to do this. The servant of the Lord. And now the Lord says, He who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to gather Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Waiting on it to be queued up. No, pray for Jerusalem.
We can say a quick prayer for Jerusalem.
Okay. Ed, would you like about? We're going to ask Pastor Ed Bowers to pray for Jerusalem this morning.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of holding up your covenant people, Israel, before your throne of mercy and grace. And you said we could come boldly into that throne room of yours through this new and living way that Yeshua consecrated for us through his flesh. We hold up Israel, Father. We thank you, Father, that, Lord, Jerusalem has been recognized by the United States of America, Father, as the capital of Israel. Father, for that is what you ordained. It wasn't man's decision. Father, we're just recognizing what you have done. And I thank you, Father, you've seen the backlash that has come to your people because of that recognition. And I ask that your angels would station themselves all around the borders of Israel, Father, and around their capital, Jerusalem, and protect them and keep them safe from all harm and all danger. And, Father, as we celebrate this time of year when Yeshua was born into the world, Father, specifically to come to his own, the people of Israel, and they did not recognize. I pray, Father, that especially at this time, there would be a mighty move of your Spirit all over the covenant land of Israel, and that the eyes of your people would be enlightened, and their understanding would come to recognize and know the truth that their Messiah has come. The waiting is over. Until the Lord, I thank you that you bless, protect them, prosper them. Let health and strength be theirs, and wisdom and understanding in your favor cover them round about as a shield. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Bowers. I'll stand for the Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echa, Baruch Shem Kevod, Kalhuto, Leoam Va'ed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hands, let them be frontless between your eyes, and you will write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Amen. Okay. Okay, we're going to start the Torah service now. Greg, you and Charlie, I get, and I'll open the. There's Bill now. He's got time to get ready.
Mika Moka Belim Adonai,
Mika Moka Nebar Bar Kodesh, nor I to Lilo, oh say Fele, oh say Fele. Who is like thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, Lord, there is none else? are awesome in praise, doing wonders, O Lord, doing wonders, O Lord.
And what is the answer to that ancient question, who is like thee? Ain kamoka, balim, Adonai, balim, kamasek, ka, malkuka, malbuko, omim, malkusha, pekador, vatador, Adonai, melek, Adonai, melok, Adonai, imlok, leolam, bayed, Adonai, os, leomo, yutain, Adonai, varechet, demo, vashalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength to his people, the Lord will bless his people with peace.
Do you have that music, Carol, or... Okay.
Matovu manayim Shemet achim gam yachar Hine matovu manayim Shemet achim gam yachar Hine matov Shemet achim gam yachar Hine Naim shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matovu manayim shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matovu shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matovu shevet achim gam yachad. Tovu manayim, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matovu manayim, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matov, hine matov.
Hey,
la 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 la. Hine matov, hine matov.
Hey, la 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 la.
Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. In unity, to dwell in unity. La 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 la. In unity, to dwell in unity. La 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 la. La 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 la.
Okay. Vahiven sorong vayem Moshe kunra Adonai viavutsu oiveka vianutsu sempaneka mipaneka. Ki mitzion tetze Torah, ki mitzion tetze Torah, udavar Adonai b'Yerushalayim, Baruch Shenatan Torah, Torah, Baruch Shenatan Torah, Torah, Le'amo Israel. Peak du chateau. And when the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you.
For from Zion will go forth the Torah in the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
Blessed be he who in his holiness
gave the Torah to his people Israel.
Amen. And you all can be seated. Let them restore the Torah here, and then we'll give the Aliyah call. Yamod Asher ben Zedekiah, La Torah, Baruch Adonai Hamvarah, Baruch Adonai Hamvarah Leoam Vaed, Baruch Adonai Hamvarah Leoam Vaed, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Babakanu Miko Halamin, Benatan Lano Et Torato, Baruch Atah Adonai, Notain Ma Torah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen.
Okay, you can get started here just in a second. Let me get this up here.
Today's Torah portion. We'll see if it ties into Hanukkah some way. It's called Miketz, and it means at the end, and it's from Deuteronomy 41 through 44. And we find with the month of Kislev is the month that we're presently in on the Hebrew calendar. It is a month that stands for dreams, and it means to be dreams. And, of course, when in the Scriptures, we're talking about Joseph today. He was the master of dreams. So you can see by saying dreams how it connects to Hanukkah, because, and we're going to talk a little about Hanukkah later on for the morning's message, but you can see how the Maccabees were dreamers too, because they dreamed that a small group of people, of men and women, could actually take on the Greek Syrian Empire and take back Jerusalem and the temple. So it ties, because it always appears around this time of the year each year, because the order of the parashas, that it always appears with Hanukkah. So it's connected. But we, you know, if you were here last week, you know, we talked about Joseph and the fact that he dreamed and that he was going to be a ruler. His brothers were going to have to look up to him and sort of bow down to him. And they didn't like that too good. So they plotted to kill him. And instead of killing him, they sold him to some traders who took him to Egypt. And there he was sold to Potiphar, who was a priest, a dignitary there in the Egypt area. And he took him into his house as a servant, because after all, you have to remember why Joseph was chosen for that, because God's hand was upon him. So he was chosen by Potiphar to work in his home. And that's where the story sort of starts today, because we find that Joseph was a fairly good-looking young man, and Potiphar's wife was making approaches to him. And one day Joseph made a bad decision. He was in the home without anyone else but her, and she took his robe off him, his covering, and she cried that he had assaulted her, which is out in the news a lot today. So it sort of follows the parashah. There's a lot about sexual assault or whatever in the news. But he was convicted of a crime, and all he did was run away. He was trying to get away from her. But he made a bad decision by going in where she was at, and she knew one, and she probably sent everyone away, knowing that he would come in and would not be anyone else there to defend him. But he was falsely imprisoned. And, you know, if you look at Joseph, you see there is a tremendous shadow of Yeshua, because he was betrayed by his brothers. He was placed in a pit, and he was imprisoned for crimes that he did not commit. And he was destined, Joseph was one destined to be a redeemer of the Israelites in Egypt. It was through Joseph that they were redeemed, and actually through Joseph's hand that Jacob and his brothers and family were saved. So the 12 tribes of Israel were saved through Joseph because of the famine that was in Israel. And that's how Jacob got down to Egypt, was because of the famine. And he went down there. And, of course, he found out that Joseph was still alive. So he makes the journey down there. So it does relate, because we see the dreamers, you know, with the Maccabees, they dreamed they could refix the temple. But this army, this Greek Syrian army, was massive. It controlled the world. And you have a small band of people saying they were going to be like us attacking the United States Army. I mean, something similar to that. Maybe not as bad, but it was quite an undertaking. You see, throughout history, people have wanted to destroy the Jewish people. They have wanted, and the reason they want to destroy the Jewish people, they feel if they can destroy the Jews, then God will go away and won't exist anymore. That's what they think. You see, it's all about getting the Jews from God and getting God out of the world. But you see, the Jewish people are still, even today, God's chosen people. Why were they chosen? Because they were chosen because of Abraham seeking God. That's what got the ball rolling. And then, of course, they were given the Torah that you see this morning. That's the light of the world. That was their duty, was to proclaim the light of the world. And the Torah is still here. This one here is approaching, what, about 175 years old. And there's some around that's even older than that. So God's word hasn't gone very far in this world. I mean, as far as being destroyed, it's something that people want to do. They want to separate, they want to separate God's word from people so that they figure that God will just vanish and it'll all be a great big myth that everyone believes in. You see, in Hebrew, light means ori. That's what the Torah is. It's the light of the world. And five, you know, and it's so important that God on the first day of creation said, let there be light. He says, let there be ori. In the Torah, and it was, he said it five times, there's five books in the Torah. Psalms 119 tells us that the world is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. John 8:12, Yeshua says, I am the light of the world. Whosoever follows me will never be in darkness, but will have the light of life. The word of God is life. Isaiah 9 says, while we walk in dreams, we have seen a great light. So that's one of the things about Hanukkah, is lighting the candles each night, saying the prayer. And as you light the candles, it's God telling us that our light shine to the world. And we're going to talk a lot more about Hanukkah. You see, the world right now, if you thought it was dark a few years ago, it's getting even darker today, because the scripture tells us there's a day coming when no one will be able to work. And that's telling us that the witness of the world is going to be taken away, and there will not be any control in the world anymore. The world is still intent on the destruction of God's word. It's getting more prevalent in the world today. I saw, just a step to the side here, I mean, I saw a debate, I guess it was, between a Messianic Jew and a Bible scholar and two other people who were biblical seminary students, and it didn't take you long to hear them speaking that they didn't believe in God's word. They challenged God's word. One of the ladies even said, well, has anybody ever talked to a snake? And of course, she was relating to the Garden of Eden, but that wasn't the only talking animal. You know, there was a donkey that did some talking, and he saved a guy's life because he was talking. So the world really wants to destroy God's word, and when you destroy God's word, you're trying to destroy God's people. So that's the reason Hanukkah is so important at this time of the year, is that we let the light of Yeshua, the light of God's word, shine through our lives and into other people's life. It's like a candle and a moth. If you light a candle, a moth will just keep getting closer and closer to that light till he eventually gets those wings into the light and he catches on fire. But that's the way God's word is. He wants to draw you in and capture you right there. That's God's word. So that's the Torah portion this morning. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Anthony. Everyone rise for the closing of the Torah.
Vizod ha-Torah asher shamoshe lifnei b'nei Yisrael al-pi Adonai b'yav Moshe.
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
Etz kaim hi l'lazim kiba metotom cheha merusha derei kai hai darei noam vikol tivoteha shalom hashiveinu Adonai Elei Havi Vashuva Kadesh, Kadesh Ameinu, Kadesh Ameinu Kekedim.
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen. You all can be seated. Let's see what we got. What's next, I guess, would be announcements. And, of course, the Bells are not here today. Rabbi and Rapidson Bell are in Florida and their children at the Southeast MJ Conference. So we wish them a great time down there. And then the Bells are going to go on, I believe, to Massachusetts, to Boston, to Newton, to see his mother and spend some time at this year with her. So we wish them Godspeed. And they'll return next week. We have a guest speaker. And I have spoke with his, I guess I'm going to say, U.S. protege here. It's going to be Rabbi Peter Oliveira. He is from the island of Haiti. That's where he's at right now. And he has a Messianic Jewish congregation there, and he has an orphanage. So he will be the guest speaker next week. Just to let you know ahead of time, we will be taking up a love offering for him. So just be prepared if you can bless him. He also is going to hand out some cards to us about his ministry to see if any of us would be interested in assisting him. That might be helping with his congregation or with a child in the orphanage or with just something for the orphanage. So keep that in mind next week as you come. We will be doing a love offering for him. And his name again is Rabbi Peter Oliveira. So we'll be seeing him next week. So this morning, I guess we're going to maybe go ahead and take up the tithes and offerings.
We're going to do worship right now.
Sorry, worship?
Yeah.
I'm not following the schedule, sorry.
Anthony forgets the dance.
Got to do the dance first. That makes people get ready to give the money. Okay,
I got you.
Shalom Alechem, Malach Ehashat, Malach המלאכים הקדוש ברוך הוא בואכם לשלום מלאכי השלום מלאכי עליון ממלך מלכי המלאכים הקדוש ברוך Shalom, Malachi HaShalom, Malachi Elyon. Mi Melech, Malchi HaMlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zetchem leShalom, Malachi HaShalom, Malachi Kadosh Baruch Hu, Zetchem leShalom, Malachi HaShalom.
house of Jacob, let us walk in the light, walk in the light, walk in the light. Come house of Jacob, let us walk in the light, walk in the light of the Lord. Come house of Jacob, let us walk in the light, walk in the light, walk in the light. Come house of Jacob, let us walk in the light, walk in the light of the Lord. The haughty man is humble, the lofty one draws low, for the Lord alone will be exalted in that day, when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Yeshua is the Lord unto the glory of God.
My heart's so stricken and withered, I can't even even eat my bread, no. Oh, Israel, you have not been forgotten, no, your time is gone. Shema Yisrael, you will not be forsaken. Oh, the time of favor Zion, the time of favor Zion has come. Generation to come, who knows? The time to favor Zion has come. And for a people yet created who would praise the Lord, the time to favor Zion has come. Shema Yisrael.
Time has come.
Shema Yisrael. The time to favor Zion. The time to favor Zion has come. The time to favor Zion. The time to favor Zion has come. The time to favor Zion. The time to favor Zion has come.
Ladies, one more. Okay, we want to recognize any visitors we have today, and we have two gentlemen. Is this y'all's first time here? Okay, would you stand up and introduce, tell us who you are and where you're from? Piney Flats. Okay, that's local. Welcome.
Welcome, Frank. Shabbat Shalom.
Welcome. And Frank's brother, I believe you said, is deceased now, but he had a Messianic congregation in California. So great y'all here this morning. And of course, Pastor Bowers is here, but he's not considered a visitor. He's
he's family.
He's family. So, and he prayed this morning, so we appreciate that.
Thank you, Pastor Ed.
Yeah, thanks. So this morning we give you a chance to take up our tithes and offerings. The big box is for tithes and offerings. The next little basket is for the building fund, and the big round basket is for the needy. We take that money and it's used. We send it to the MJA, and also some, I believe, is used for people here in the area that might have a need for groceries, something like that. So we'll pray for the offering this morning, and then you can come and bring your tithes and your offerings. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Shabbat. We thank you for the festival of Hanukkah, Lord, and we thank you for the many things that you've done for us this week and throughout our lives, Lord. We ask that you bless each one that's here today, Lord. Bless our offering. Bless the Messianic congregations around the world today, Lord, and they may be like us, have a great service today, Lord. We ask you to bless this offering and use it for your kingdom. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
I see your beauty and I hear your song. I feel your power and I know.
come, hold me closer and don't ever leave. Fill me up, my heart can't be filled enough. Fill me up, fill my cup, Lord, pour out your
love. I'd like to take the time to thank our internet viewers out there. Wave to them. Thank you, everyone that's watching. We thank you. We love you. We pray for all of you. Keep sending in your prayer requests. We pray for you, for all the things that you send in to us. Email us. Let us like us on Facebook as well. As your heart tugs at you to give to our ministry at For Zion's Sake Ministries, thank you for your blessings that you keep continuing to bless us every week. Thank you so much for all you internet viewers out there. We love you.
Thank you. Okay, there's not going to be any Shabbat school today, so hopefully I will not speak that long so kids won't get too restless. I might get restless, but they'll probably be okay. We're going to do the Shalkanah and I, the table of the Lord, this morning. And the ladies are going to come get ready for that. This is something in the service that we are to prepare our hearts for. If there's anything that is unpleasing to the Heavenly Father, we are to ask His forgiveness. Because this is actually all about redemption. Because that's on that Seder that night in Jerusalem, that is what Yeshua was telling His Talmidim, that this is redemption. This represents my body and my blood. And so that's what He was extending to them, was eternal salvation. That's what it's about. And if you have a need this morning, that is for that too. It's not only for redemption, but it's also for our needs. That's what the body is for. It's for your needs, whether they're physical, spiritual. You may have a financial need. You may need a job. Whatever the need is, you tell God and He will help you and assist you in that. So this morning, I'll just say the prayers up here this morning. And Yeshua, He took the bread and He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And Yeshua, on the third day, came out of the tomb, the bread of life. He took the drink, and He said, this is my blood, which is spilled for you. It's for the remission of sins. That's the only way you can get your sins forgiven, is through the blood. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pari hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. And Yeshua is the true vine, and we are His branches this morning. So prepare your hearts, and the ladies are ready to serve you this morning.
We offer to the Lord a heart of praise. We come as a living sacrifice. His Spirit is within us, and we are not our own, for we have been bought with a price. You are the temple of the living God, so cleanse and sanctify your heart, and dedicate yourself unto the true and living God as we celebrate the joy of Hanukkah. Welcome to the festival of lights. Have another latke, give the dreidel a whirl. Light up the menorah on this Hanukkah night and celebrate Yeshua, He's the light of the world. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam she'asah nisim la'avoteinu bayamim ha'em bazman hazeh. Mi kamocha ba'elim Adonai nes gadol ha'yashar. Oh, who among the mighty is like unto you, O Lord, the salvation
has also happened here. Welcome to the Festival of Lights. Have another lock to give the drain a whirl. Light up the menorah on this Hanukkah night and celebrate Yeshua. He's the light of the world. Stands not with the multitude of hosts, but with the strength that comes from God alone. And thus consider that throughout all the ages, not one that put their trust in him has yet been overcome. Welcome to the Festival of Lights. Have another lot could give the train a whirl. Light up the menorah on this Hanukkah night and celebrate Yeshua, he's the light. Celebrate the Shamish who gives light and walk as children of the light and shine throughout the world.
Everyone can be seated. We're not going to, the kiddies is not going to have a Shabbat's going to think I already mentioned that. So they're going to stay with us this morning. And I'm going to stand rather than sit. And that way I won't, the time, I'll be more aware of the time. My knees will start knocking, rocking or whatever. Like in the Army, they say when you stand forever, I was a guide on bearer and one of the jobs I had in service then. We would have these parades, and you would stand for hours. All the dignitaries spoke, and all the generals spoke, and they did a parade, a walk around, a review. And boy, would my knees get tired, so I started just sort of bending them a little bit. But the more I bent, the lower I went down. So I had to stand with the brigade colors, so I couldn't like be too much week. But today, this message this morning, sort of a spinoff of what Rabbi Joe spoke on last week about Hanukkah. It's a time of the year that it's hard to miss. It's becoming more people are talking about it. You know, public schools are talking about it. I have a 4-year-old. They have some kind of a class, and she was telling me all about Hanukkah from elementary school, which I thought was interesting. So God's not totally shut out of the public schools, even though they want to. But today's, I titled this morning is the final war, and that is the Battle of Hanukkah. We may not realize that, but it's about a war, and it's about the final war. So this morning I'm going to just read a few scriptures to get started, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. And then we're going to have own egg after the service this morning over in the fellowship hall. It's going to be just sweets. We've got a lot of donuts. We seem to accumulate quite a few donuts this morning. So, and some of them are jelly filled. They've got Arabian cream and different vanilla. And what'd you bring, Bill? Chocolate. Yep, we got a... What kind? Lockies. We got some Lockies. So everything's going to be good. when I was a tater tots, my grandmother used to fix Lockheed's, but she always called them tater cakes or something like that. I forget what she had a name for them, but I've eaten a lot of those. So let's start off this morning with just a few scriptures to get us focused. Isaiah 9 tells us, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a child is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." And so we see this morning, that's about Yeshua. "Of that increase of his government and peace there will be no end upon the throne of David over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with order and justice from that time forward, even forevermore. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will be no end unto his kingdom. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands in Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from the old and from everlasting." And so we see that is about Yeshua. And Hanukkah, of course, is about Yeshua. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons." And that scripture is interesting from Galatians, because it says he was born under the law. His birth was miraculous. And I believe him, and it doesn't say this in the scriptures, but I believe when Miriam gave birth to Yeshua, after her birth, she was still a virgin. God did not destroy her virginity to have the Son of God born through Miriam. But we see that when Yeshua was born, as it says, he was born under the law, meaning that he was not above the law, but he was a subject to the law or to the mitzvahs, because that was God's words. And so this morning, as we talk about Hanukkah and we talk about Yeshua being a part of that, it's a festival that's only mentioned in the 10th chapter of John. It's not mentioned in the Old Testament or in the Torah, because it is not a moed. God has not designed it or spoke it as a required time to appear, or his time that he has set aside to meet with us, like the moeds are. So Hanukkah is a special time. It's a festival, and it's only briefly mentioned in chapter 10 of John, where it talks about Yeshua going to Jerusalem. It was an important time because where he was at, it was about a 35-mile walk to Jerusalem from where Jesus was at, or Yeshua was at that time. So it was an important time to be in Jerusalem, a festival at Hanukkah. So he made the trip there, and he observed Hanukkah. Hanukkah actually got started, or with the forerunner of it, in about 171 B.C. Alexander the Great was the emperor of the world. He controlled the whole world as it was in that day, and he died. And his kingdom, or the world, was divided up into four parts. He had four generals, and each general took a portion of his kingdom, and each general set themselves up as a king. And in the king of Assyria, which included, king of Syria, which included Israel and Egypt, was Antiochus Epiphanes IV. And believe it or not, there was three more of those guys before he came along. He was the fourth one. He became the king, or the ruler, over Syria, which included the land of Israel. And during this period of history, of course, Antiochus Epiphanes, this was a Greek Assyrian type of an empire that was in existence at that time. And also it was a period from the Greeks of Hellenism was prevailing in the land. And what that is, in that day it was called a modern worldly religion. They looked at possessions and materialism as the thing that drove them, and they also worshiped the Greek god Zeus, who was like the most powerful, or the king of all the the Greek god, Greek and Roman gods, was Zeus. He was like the creator of all. So, and a lot of the Jewish people, believe it or not, were falling away from God at this time, and they began to worship Zeus and these pagan gods. And when you actually look at the world today and compare it back to the time of Yeshua and back to the time of Antiochus Epiphanes, you'll see that the world is pretty much the same today as it was then. We're caught up into materialism, and we're caught up into other things that is not pleasing to God. So that's where they're at, and that's where we're at today. But you see, Antiochus, he began to force this religion upon the land of Israel, upon the Jewish people. He went into the temple, and he began to sacrifice animals that were not to be sacrificed. Well, first of all, he wasn't a priest, so he was not entitled to go into the temple and to make, he could bring a sacrifice, but he was not permitted to perform the sacrifice functions. And so he did. They defiled the altar of God. They took blood into the Holy of Holies, and they sprinkled it on the mercy seat that God had prepared there. So it was if you follow the writings of Daniel, you'll see that it was the beginning of the desecration, of God's house. You know, this actually occurred on the Gregorian calendar on December the 25th is when this abomination of the temple of God actually began on the 25th of December, because that was the Gregorian or the Roman calendar that was used, and it was the day that it's also the birthday. December the 25th is the birthday of Zeus, and it's also the beginning of the winter solstice, which is worshipped in a lot of pagan cultures. And what the winter solstice is, it's a sort of a magical day to them, because the earth, the sun, sort of stands still, because the earth, on that particular day, it is the shortest day of the year for light, and it is the longest day of the year for darkness. So it's in the middle of it start the because of the winter season. And it's the shortest, it's called the shortest day, but still it's still 24 hours. But you only have so many hours of light, and you have a greater number hours of darkness. So they worship it. That was the 25th. That's the day that he did this destruction in the temple, defiling of the temple. And he began to kill the Jewish people. He prohibited them from observing Shabbat. They could not perform the various Jewish rituals or the mikvahs that God had established. They were permitted not to observe them, and so he built a image of Zeus, and he put that image into the temple of God, and he forced the people to bow down and worship the Zeus, the god of the Greeks. And you see, that was a remnant of true belief. This is when the remnant of the true believers in Israel begin to rise up. Matthias was a Kohen. He was a priest in the temple. And when they were defiling the temple, he started, actually the revolution that started with him from the temple. He began to get people together and to excite them about the desecration of the temple and the desire that they needed to rise up and push these people out of God's house. Unfortunately, he died before this was ever accomplished, and his son Judah Maccabee, who became the leader, and it was interesting to note it took them 3 years to fight this Greek Syrian army. They were greatly outnumbered, and actually they took the temple back on December the 25th. It was actually 3 years to the day that they were able to go to fight the Greek Assyrian army. And they retook the temple back from the Syrians and pushed them out of Jerusalem, out of Israel. And so what they found was everything was defiled in the temple, because they had been offering non-kosher animals that were not, God had not spoken about to be the sacrifice animals. So they were mostly sacrificing pigs, hogs, swine, whatever you want to call them. That's what was being, because the pig looks kosher, but he's not. because he's kosher from outside because he has a split hoof. But he's not kosher on the inside. And a lot of people get confused. Well, why? What do you mean? He doesn't chew his cud. That was the distinction. And there's a medical reason why they chew their cud. When a cow chews her cud or redigests what she's eaten, she redigests it again and chews it. It gets the impurities out of what the cow is eating. And so that's a medical reason for the non-kosher animals, because of the split hoof. The pig looks like a lot of people, looks like us. He looks okay, but really on the inside, he's not. He's very defiled. I had a relative used to raise them, and I tell you, they're not clean. They're not clean by a long shot, but we won't go there. But that's what was happening. He was taking pigs in there, slaughtering them on the altar. They thought they were sacrificing, and then he took the blood and he threw it all over the mercy seat. And I'm often amazed why God didn't just have a gigantic pit open up and everything fall down in it. But he didn't. He let it exist. And the people began to follow that. And then with Matthias and his son Judah, they began to revolt. And it took them 3 years. And they whipped the Greek Assyrian army. They ran them out of Israel. And they took it back. And, you know, Yeshua said, the temple is my Father's house. That's the house of God. And there's still a temple to be built in Jerusalem today. It's just a discussion now about where that's going to be built, because the final battle of Hanukkah can't take place till we got the temple. And I'll tell you why here in a minute. But they found something. The menorah, they only had enough oil for the Hanukkah to burn it for one day. And that's where the miracle, Nes Gadol HaShemayim, that was a great miracle, happened there, because the oil that would have burnt out in one day burned for a total of 8 days. That gave them time to recreate, get olives, recreate the olive oil, sanctify it, and have it ready to use in God's house. So that's the miracle of Hanukkah, was that the oil burned for 8 days. That should have burn out in one day, because they knew about how much oil they needed per candle per day. So they knew they only had enough to burn the candles for the one day, but it burnt the 8 days. You know, with Hanukkah, a lot of people ask me about it, because they see some things on TV or they hear somebody mention it. But you know, without Hanukkah, we wouldn't really have had a Joseph and Miriam. They wouldn't have come. There would have been no Yeshua. And really, in actuality, they probably would not have been a Christmas had it not been. Because I think Christmas takes the gift-giving, and the lights are taken from Hanukkah. Because on Hanukkah, you give a gift every night. So you get a whole lot more with Hanukkah than you do with Christmas. That's something to bear in mind. Kids, you get a gift every day. That's quite a concept. But that's God's way of saying, I'm giving you my gift. You know, and it blends in. But you see, with Antiochus, we see he was a lot of things in God's word are shadows or a foreshadow of something that's to happen. You see, Antiochus was a foreshadow of the Antichrist. And you know, if you're familiar with Daniel, he wrote about the Messiah being cut off. He wrote about that there would be, in Daniel 9, verse 26 through 27, he talks about the Antichrist coming and how he would make altercations, how he would change the calendar, how he would change the laws, the things that you will observe. And that's also in Daniel 7:25. So he is a prototype. He is someone who was a foreshadow. He was not the Antichrist, but he was a representative, a shadow, a forerunner of someone who was going to come many years later. And of course, in Antiochus, he changed the calendar and he blasphemed the Most High God. He began the desecration and the abomination in God's house by going in and making himself a god. That's like the Egyptians. All of the pharaohs considered themselves gods. You had to worship them. But as you can see, they're not a Messiah, because they're finding their bodies down in Egypt. If you look on National Geographic, some of these other TV programs, You know, they find their bodies and they find the animals in there and they find their servants. They put everything they owned in those tombs and everything died inside the tomb because when they sealed them up, there was no water, no food, and they suffocated to death. But their bodies are still there. They're not gone. You know, they haven't gone anywhere. They're still there. They didn't make it to the great abyss that they were talking about. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us, "Let no one deceive you, for the day of the Lord will come, unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawless, the son of destruction, exalts himself above every God." This Antichrist is going to exalt himself above every God. He is going to say, "I am the supreme God. I'm above Zeus. I'm above all these other pagan gods. I am the top one." And he will display himself as a God. And he will take his seat in the temple of God. He will sit there. And so you will see, you will know who he is, because he will proclaim himself to be God. And he will take his seat in the temple of God, saying, "I am the true God." So that is the abomination and the desecration of God's house. Daniel 9 tells us that the Antichrist, that Antiochus, that he was the foreshadow, because he could see that in his vision. As Israel was saved then, as the Maccabees saved Israel then at Hanukkah time, Yeshua will save us in the end. And that's in Revelation chapter 19. That's the great battle that you see in Hanukkah because of the desecration in the temple that occurred, excuse me, back when the Maccabees were taking over, were fighting with the Greek Assyrians. That was the foreshadow of the final battle. And I call it the Battle of Hanukkah. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that, but it's not any pat on my back. I just happened to think of it. It's really a battle. That's what Hanukkah is about. It's about the final battle that God will preside over. Of course, the Antichrist and the Satan and the demons will all be cast into the bottomless pit. Isaiah 49 tells us that the same that Yeshua will save us. That's in Isaiah, that he will save us. So that's why on Hanukkah, just to sort of bring this to a little bit of a close here, you know, there's nine candles. We like, the first one is the Shamash, and that is that's the servant candle. And you know, and Yeshua said that he is the true light. That's like Hanukkah. That's the light. A light that shines on a dark world. When Yeshua came and was born in Bethlehem, that at Bethlehem, that means house of bread, he was the light unto the world. It was a dark world back then. We have a lot of lights here, but we're still a very spiritually dark world. The world really hasn't changed. Nothing's new, nothing's old. The things that were going on then are going on now. There's nothing. People still worship pagans. I forget who the country is over in the Scandinavia that's actually remade one of their pagan gods, and they put it where people can see it, and I imagine they want people to worship it. I forget, it's one of the Norse gods, I believe, and I didn't really look a whole lot at it. I wished I had and wrote down what it was. But they've actually recreated this god, and they made it a figure in their country. Matthew 5 says, "Let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Heavenly Father." John 8, chapter 8, verse 12 says, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not work in darkness," or shall not walk in darkness, "but he will have the light of the world," which is the light of life. When you have Yeshua, you have the light, but you have life also, that you're going to live forever. A lot of people don't see that. A lot of people think you're just here, and when you die, that's it. There's nothing after death. But our souls, what people don't realize, whether you're a believer or not, you're going to live somewhere in eternity forever. You're not, if you die lost, you will be raised up lost, and you will have an eternal body that will not die. It will not be perished. It will not perish from the fires of hell. You will be there forever. And that's a lot to think about, because a lot of people think, well, you know, God's not that kind of person, and he's not going to like rescue me in the end. And he won't ever close the door on you. But if you ignore him and refuse him, then that's the wages of sin. Was God always required a sacrifice, and you're going to give yourself up. If you don't accept his sacrifice for your sins, then you're putting your body there to be tormented eternally in hell. So we see the eight candles. The ninth candle is the Shamash. We mentioned that earlier. That's the servant. Of course, that's Yeshua. He came as a servant. But when he comes back, he's not coming back as a servant. He will come back as the Lion of Judah. That means with all power and might and glory. He's not going to come back and be a humbling servant. He's coming back as the King of Kings. So there's a different Yeshua coming back. He's not going to be as mild mannered. It says he will rule with a rod of iron. So that means we have to get in line. He's going to rule according to God's mitzvahs and what God wants. And we see the first, and the candles on the on a Hanukkah are lit from the right to the left, just like the Hebrew scriptures are read from the right to the left. The first candle, I'll tell you a bit about the candles just to close this morning. The first candle is called the Aleph candle, and that represents God, the Heavenly Father, and that means God. It represents God's gratitude to us. The second candle is called Bet, and that represents Yeshua. Generosity is what that candle means. The third candle is the Gemel, and that represents the Spirit, and that tells us about God's courage. The fourth candle is the Dalet, and that means God has created. God made something from nothing, and that is the kindness of God. You know, the Dalet is unusual because, you know, the scriptures can be summarized in the first three words of the Bible, and that is Barit, Bara, Elohim. And you find Yeshua, the Aleph, and the Tav is in those three words. And it tells us about God created nothing. He took nothing and made something. And that Bereshit means to be in awe. And that's a part of Bereshit. Bereshit means to be in awe of God. And in Psalms, it tells us 119 that to gain, you have to be when you get in awe of God, then you are learning about the things of God. You're beginning to worship Him and understand God, to hold Him in awe, and that begins your wisdom in the things of God. It's when you hold Him in awe. And all those words, those first three words, give you you could give somebody the whole Bible. There are those three words, really, about God's love and His mercy. And He takes nothing and makes something, and He's faithful. So it's all right there. The fifth candle is called Hay, and it means the redemption and the grace of God. That's His awareness. Vav is the sixth candle, and that means man. That means our connection. We have a connection to God, whether you're a believer or not. You still have a connection to God because your soul was created by God. And that's what goes back to Him when you pass, is your soul goes back to God. Not your body, because that's a temporary vessel here. It's a mishkan here that's temporary. It's not a permanent dwelling for your soul. The seventh candle is called the Zayin, and that means spiritual perfection, and that tells us about the reverence that we need to have for God. And the eighth candle, it means new beginnings, which is number eight in Hebrew, and it's called the Het. Number eight always means resurrection or to start new. That's why on the eighth day Adam went into the garden, went into the Garden of Eden, and on the eighth day Noah came out and they sacrificed and worshiped God on the eighth day. And the eighth day is, you know, we have a lot of the moeds are connected to the eighth day, like Sukkot and Simchat Torah, the rewinding of the Torah, because the eighth day does not appear on the calendar. It's a day that God, He made everything, so He's going to add. He adds an extra day to the week, and He says, that's a day I have set aside. And when you observe that day, you will see God will do unbelievable, wonderful, and powerful, and mighty, miraculous things on the eighth day. And that's what the eighth candle is, and it means responsibility to God, that we have that. So that's the message I prepared this morning. I didn't want to didn't want to speak a great long time this morning, but hopefully you picked up a few things that maybe you didn't know previously. I'm just going to look at my notes real quick and see if there's anything that I need to say further. And let me read what Daniel 12 says. It's interesting that talking about the Daniel 12, it says that they may be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn to many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. You know, the Star of Bethlehem was a constellation type of a thing that only occurs every 800 years, and it's where I believe it's Saturn and Jupiter connect some way. They get in the same orbit or whatever, and it creates this unusual star. And so that's what the wise men, if you follow the scriptures, they saw that. But you know, when you talk about when they traveled, you see they were quite a distance from Bethlehem, so they didn't get there the next day. It took them probably a couple of months or longer to travel that far. So the star stayed in the heavens as a sign to them, because after all, you have to remember now, these guys were not religious people. They were mystics. They worshiped and studied the stars. That was what they were. They were not religious people, but they saw the star and they knew they were something from the Jewish perspective about it signaling the Son of God being born. And that's, you know, that it's interesting, because when they went to find Yeshua, they went to Herod. They didn't go straight to Bethlehem. And that's where Herod got, he had him go back and check his people. And they said, yes, there's supposed to be a star that's a sign. So they went to the wrong place, and then all those children were killed because Herod had to make sure. And so he killed every child that was a newborn up to, I believe it was 2 years. So you can see the star has a lot of bearing on it, as Daniel said, because it tells us about the righteousness that we turn, because God uses the stars in the heavens to give us signs and things of what he's doing in the world today. So that's today's message. And if you all will rise, we will give the morning benediction. And afterwards, you all can make your way over and have fellowship. Hope everyone will go over and at least take a donut home with you, okay? Because we got a few. but we'll eat a few. These kids will probably eat a couple of them. You know, and God told Moses, Moshe, he said, this is how you will tell Aaron, who was the high priest. He said, this is how you will tell him to bless my people when they come before me. Ivakar Adonai, Adon Yeshmereka, Yar Adonai Panabeleka, Vikunika, Isa Adonai Panabeleka, Vaya Simlaka Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, his shalom. In the name of Yeshua, we say to you this morning, Shabbat Shalom, and may you have a blessed day on this Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom.